Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Devoted Life podcast. We're your hosts, Stephen and Tracy, and we're so glad that you all are joining us again. As we said last week, we were going to pray on what to speak about, and we did, and we think we have a good one for you. As always, you can follow us on social media at The Devoted Life on Facebook and The Devoted Life Podcast on Instagram. And we're also on YouTube now. We're slowly keeping up on our full episodes on there. And then we're also putting some clips from our episodes on there as well. And you can just look up The Devoted Life. And I think you should find us pretty easily. And we just appreciate all the support that you all have shown us thus far. You can also support this podcast, if you so choose, via PayPal, soon to be via Cash App. We're actually going to post that soon. We just got that set up, if you would like to financially support the podcast. And we also have our merch store and Patreon as well. So like we said, we were going to pray into what to talk about this week, and we did. And something that the Lord had really put pretty heavy on my heart was actually the topic of deliverance. And it's becoming more common to hear believers, you know, speak on that topic and openly discuss it and really, you know, dive into that. We still got more work to be done, though. You know, we want it to become very, I guess, normal for us as believers, that it's not this, I don't know, kind of a taboo thing that, even though it's biblical, people seem to sidestep around it. Not saying that, some people like literally say that, I mean, they just don't really believe that's for today and things like that. And, but in the believing circles of a healthy spirit-filled church, I think it's becoming more and more commonplace where people do see the need for it. Like I said, we have more work to do. It's not quite there yet. It's still, you know, considered kind of rare, you know, in amongst us, believers and churches and things. There's a pretty awesome minister that we really highly respect. They wrote a really amazing book. His name is Alexander Pagani, and he wrote a book called The Secrets of Deliverance. And I highly, highly recommend that book. That's some deep, deep revelation into the topic. And he puts it like this. He says, finding a spirit-filled church today is rare. Now, again, that's even becoming more common, praise the Lord. But he said, that's rare. He said, now add that to finding a spirit-filled church that does deliverance is even more rare. So, you know, and we've you know, in this last, you know, couple years for us, what the Lord has really shown us and taught us, you know, in this, in the realm of deliverance and on this topic has been pretty, a lot in a short period of time. But we've seen just in that period of time, the absolute need for it, within the church, within the body of Christ. And I think the main thing that I really, that just the Lord had recently really, put on my heart was how, even if people say, you know, they don't outwardly say they don't believe in it, they don't criticize it or anything, but oftentimes you do see people in reference to, you know, what it tells us in the Great Commission, which is Matthew 10:8, where it says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You've received without paying, give without pay. In that, a lot of people either leave out the cast out demons part, or, you know, they just skip it. So,
And that was just heavy. That I actually wrote a Facebook post about this last week, and I just was so, I mean, it's just like a fire in me for this, because of what we've seen, you know, in our circles, for people we've encountered and that we know that are believing, spirit-filled people, but yet they're still bound with things. These people need help. You know, I think when you know, Jesus is saying this and speaking of the Great Commission, all of it matters. It doesn't, you know, it's not like, oh, only these parts are important. All of it's important for us to help people, you know. And what's crazy about it is if you really break it down, and people, when they skip over that or they leave that out, I just feel like, you know, I don't know if people really sit and think about this, but over 70% of Jesus's life and ministry was healing the sick and casting out devils. So if you want to skip over the deliverance part and the cast out demons part, then apparently you're not cool with that Jesus did that. I mean, and it was important to him because that took up that plus healing took up 70% of his work, you know, here on the earth. And it's, I don't know, I think it's just in that, when you look at it in that percentage, that should tell us that that's important. And it's just as important as the rest of it. And especially, you know, when we're, you know, also helping people who are coming out of a broken people, coming out of a broken world, they're going to have some stuff, and who's going to help them get free? I mean, we're not, like, us alone are not the deliverer. Obviously that's Jesus, but we're the vessel that he works through to bring that deliverance. And I just think it's a shame that it's touched on sometimes or brushed over. But I think the thing too is that, you know, when you get into praying deliverance for people, it's not glamorous. You know, it's not pretty. You're going to be in it with people. I mean, it's messy. But I think, you know, if we say we really love people, then we love them in all those ways, right? We want to see people free. We know that's also why Jesus died for us, so we could receive that kind of freedom, you know, and for him to, you know, speak to us in the Great Commission and say, you will do these things, go do these things. And why are we doing it? We're doing it because he commands it. You know, the word says, you know, if you love me, obey my commandments. Well, doesn't that include all of them? You know, I think you can't just pick and choose.
No, you can't. I mean, it reminds me of a conversation I had with a pastor, and I'd asked the question, you know, I told him, obviously, I believed in deliverance and in the whole Great Commission, and I asked him the question that, you know, there's people out there that you hear them say that it's, oh, deliverance isn't for today, or, you know, deliverance isn't for today, but what they're really saying, they're not rejecting deliverance, they're rejecting the deliverer.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. If you think about that, I mean, that makes sense. You think about that. If you're rejecting deliverance, which was a huge part of the Great Commission.
Yeah.
You're rejecting a huge part of Jesus' ministry.
Yes. Well, and I wrote in my notes, if you reject deliverance, you're rejecting the ministry of Jesus.
Right. You are.
Yeah, that's pretty...
Right. And I think sometimes it's just, they have a very, I don't know, like you talked about, deliverance isn't a glamorous thing to deal with. And some churches maybe aren't equipped for it.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a very, and a lot of them, I think, just have a very limited understanding of the demonic realm.
Yeah.
I think they have a very limited understanding of that, because you always hear people talk about, you know, fear and
like
the basic things that a lot of people deal with, but it's so much more vast than that. And so I think they'll skip over, you know, maybe a spirit of fear, or I mean, I don't know. There's a few other ones I've heard people say, but it always seems like it's those same ones.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much more in depth than that. And again, I think that's just lack of understanding of the demonic realm.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and it's a fine line. You know, obviously, you don't want to get overly focused and obsessed with the demonic aspects.
And there's something I want to say about that. You know, when we talk about deliverance, there is no such thing as deliverance ministry.
No.
There is the ministry of Jesus, mm-hmm. which deliverance was part of that.
Yeah.
So if anybody says they're I'm in deliverance ministry, that's not right.
No. Because you can't just focus on that with preaching about speaking about
nothing
else.
That's not even biblical to say that.
No.
You're basically, it's Jesus' ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Just like everything else as far as laying on the hands, you know, praying for the sick. I mean, that's, deliverance is part of all that.
Well, and I think sometimes too, you know, people talk about healing ministry. Deliverance is healing ministry too.
It is. Well, if you think about healing is part of deliverance, deliverance is part of healing.
It is. Yeah. Well, you know, how many times have you heard people that someone just went up for prayer for healing? And someone started praying over them. Now, these are places that are equipped if someone manifests stuff. But someone legit went up and they said, I need healing or prayer for healing. And they started praying for them for healing and they manifest a demon.
Right.
They get delivered of the demon and whatever they had, the ailment they had went away.
Right.
It went with it. So sometimes that is, you see cases of like that where people like literally don't know. They don't know they have that. They literally thought they just needed prayer for healing.
Right.
And vice versa. Some people would go up for deliverance and they just needed divine healing. You know, you see it both ways.
Absolutely.
But it all is healing. All of it is under the umbrella of healing.
Yeah.
And
well, and then we've even had cases where, you know, somebody, you know, and obviously we're not going to say any names, but that we were doing deliverance for somebody,
mm-hmm.
and I felt it heavy on my spirit that that's not what she needed.
Yeah, that they needed inner healing.
It was an inner healing issue
mm-hmm.
of some trauma she had dealt with.
Yeah,
trauma she had been through, and so that's, we switched directions.
And it was forgiveness too.
Right, she had some unforgiveness and stuff, which we'll get into. We'll go through that briefly, but unforgiveness is a huge block to deliverance, and I think that's what we talk about when I talk about churches aren't equipped.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that
you gotta know
almost like prerequisites that you have to understand when dealing with deliverance. There's mm-hmm. things that the person being delivered has to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that can block deliverance, and there's also things you have to do after getting deliverance that so you can keep that deliverance.
Yeah,
so you can stay free.
Yes,
and it's a constant thing. It's not like. Sometimes it's not a one and done.
No, it's a process.
Sometimes it's a process. You got somebody mm-hmm. that's carried around, you know, I'm almost 50, so I'll say I carried around at least 40 years of,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, and I had my testimony of my life as a kid, stuff I went through. And there's people that probably had it worse than that.
Right.
But you're carrying on 40 years of trauma or stuff that you've just been carrying around because mm-hmm. it's never been dealt with.
Right.
A simple prayer and getting rid of it ain't gonna heal all 4 years worth of
of
baggage.
Yeah.
You think about carrying your around 4 years worth of baggage. A simple prayer and getting rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can God do anything? Absolutely.
Yes.
There are many cases where God can deliver you, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case.
No.
Because there's many instances, like even in the Bible.
Well,
Jesus had to cast the demons out.
Yes.
They didn't get cast out because they just happened to be around Jesus.
No.
You know, he traveled all the way. No place in the Bible does it say just they were in his presence and they got delivered.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Well, and the other thing too is like, you know, we personally both experienced what's considered a silent deliverance. And it's when no manifestation happens, but you physically feel things leave you. Obviously, that's that's the power of God, right?
Right,
that's what he can do. But there also is, there's still things, I think really you have to be fully surrendered and just, and you have to have gone through some things, you know, with maybe privately with God,
right,
where you've said, I give it all to you, Lord. Like I lay my life, I surrender, and then he can move, right?
Right.
Because it's in that moment where you're completely hands up, like my hands are off this wheel.
That's where we talk about, you know, if you've dealt with certain things in your life and you're ready, that can happen.
Yeah.
But when we talk about the healing part of it, sometimes there's a healing process.
Yes.
If you have unforgiveness because of some trauma that somebody, mm-hmm. or you were abused, or to forgive that, sometimes it's hard for people.
It
and
is.
They have to go through a healing process and get to that point where they can forgive.
Right.
Because there's, and we'll touch on some of this stuff, there's a lot of things that most people will have to go through to even be delivered.
Right. Well, and I'll just say this just for example. That was the first time I was at church.
Mm-hmm.
I literally went through silent deliverance. I felt things like leave my body.
Right.
I literally felt it. But I also think, you know, that's also because you're in something's happening where you're completely surrendered. Holy Spirit is filling you. And they're like, oh, we can't stay. Like they're leaving because you're postured to be like, I'm receiving this.
Right.
Right? And he can move like that.
Right.
But that's not always the case. Sometimes it requires different kinds of situations to get you. And mine wasn't a one and done.
No.
I still went through things. Like I still went through healing.
Almost like stages.
I had to go through forgiveness. I had to and it's like God is he's so good and he's so patient with us where he understands that. And he's like, I'm here. I'm going to walk you through it, you know. And you're there. And obviously you have amazing people, spirit-filled people on fire for God that help you too. But you really have to be committed to that process. You know, at no point could you be just like, I'm really comfortable with whatever this is. Then you're not going to get free from it, period. Because what do we say? God delivers us from our enemies, not our friends.
Right.
I wasn't comfortable with any of that stuff anymore.
Right. You wanted it gone.
Right. Like I was like, get it out.
So we talk about, you know, things that basically prerequisites to be delivered from something, you know, regardless of what that is. And one of those big things is humility.
Yeah.
You know, humility is a big one. And then obviously
in
honesty.
Yeah.
Being honest with yourself. All right, are you ready for this? Are you ready? And humility is a big one.
Well, you know what I love? I also love that Luke 11:20 that says, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's another thing. In the Bible, deliverance was never in private. It was always in public.
Yeah, it was.
And you know what? That is a great demonstration of the power of God, his defeat over the devil on the cross. His work on the cross did that through his blood, right? So it's saying that by the finger of God, when you're going through that process, the finger of God is upon you.
Right.
And so that there is no greater demonstration.
He was basically humiliating the devil.
Yes.
In a public arena.
Yep. Yep. So
that was always
important. That's something else. God has just given both of us just such a passion for this topic because it's so needed.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I personally have never felt more in my element than being on the ground with someone holding them while they're going through this.
Right.
Like, I don't know. There's just something in that where when, you know, we say we love people, right? Ministry is people, right? And we're doing because we love people. That includes deliverance too.
Well, and that has to be one of the soul motivations.
Love.
To be able to be successful or be open to where God can use you to deliver people as you have to have love for people no matter and meet them where they're at.
Yes.
No matter how broken they are.
Yeah.
If they're ready to be delivered and they've gone through these things, and again, we'll touch on them quickly, And again, that love has to be at the center of all that. And I love what our pastor from our last church had said. And it wasn't about deliverance, but it was about anytime you're going to confront a brother or sister about something.
Right.
You know, maybe something that...
Healthy confrontation.
Mm-hmm. He said, you better be done out of love or you have no business doing it.
Right. And that goes through any... And that's right. Actually one of... They say one of the things of being... And I mean, as far as successful, not that we're the successful people, it's God working through us, but you have to have a heart, your heart posture has to be right.
Right.
You can't be like, you know, like, I don't know. You can't, you have to have humility and
right.
love, I think.
Right. And we have to,
you know,
and one of those things, we have to realize that God's using us. We're not the same.
No, we're not. We're the vessel.
Right.
And he determines the process. He determines how it's going to go. That's why you can't go in and say, ooh, it's going to look like this every time.
Well, and that's another thing.
Because it's not.
You bring that up because you get some people that they speak on deliverance a little bit, or they'll kind of touch on.
Like, oh, it's always like this.
It's like a cookie cutter, like it's a formula, or then it becomes mm-hmm. somewhat ritualistic to me.
Yeah.
At least that's the perception that
I
get from it. It's almost like it's just ritualistic. It's like
yeah.
it's always the same way. I'm here to tell you because I've done deliverances on people and.
It can look different every single
time. It looks,
time.
Everyone yeah. that I have done has been different.
Yep. Because you know why?
Because everybody's dealing with something different.
Right. And we're not going in saying, we have it figured out. We're not in the lead.
You got to be listening to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. You're yielded to the Holy Spirit moving. Right. And it's how he moves, what he prompts, what he says. And you know what? Here's another thing. Literally, how many times had we been in where it literally did not make sense to us?
Right.
But it didn't need to make sense. Because we, and you know what? Every single time it was like, oh, that was why.
Right.
It reveals what, I mean, you figure it out pretty soon. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's that trusting the Holy Spirit to lead you in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you have a somewhat of a guide based on
right.
what you know about the person, what they, you've talked right. to them about, because obviously there's discussions and stuff you need to have with them.
Counseling
like, prior
yeah.
to deliverance, because
mm-hmm.
they have to know what to expect.
Yeah.
And going on about as far as people being delivered, another big one is they have to be at a point in their life where they can forgive others. Forgiveness.
Yeah.
That is one of the biggest blocks. Forgiveness is one of the biggest blocks
mm-hmm.
for deliverance. If you've ever went through deliverance, anybody listening to this, or you know anybody, and they don't feel like they're free, check unforgiveness in your life.
Well, and it's also forgiving yourself.
Right. And
people don't think about that.
People miss that one, too. That's
yeah.
I had that conversation with somebody, and they're like, oh, I never thought of that.
You have to forgive yourself, too, because that's a block.
Right.
That's
right.
still unforgiveness.
Well, you have to look at it this way. If
mm-hmm.
God can forgive us...
We don't have an option.
It's not an option.
Right.
Because we're all sinners.
That's right. We have to.
Yeah.
It's like
if God can forgive us. Who are
we to hold on?
If you
that?
If you can harbor unforgiveness
mm-hmm.
when God can forgive you, then
you got
a spirit of pride.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And another big one on you know you got the unforgiveness is desperation.
Oh yeah.
They have to be ready, like you said a minute ago. God's not gonna deliver you from your
friends. Nope.
He's only gonna deliver you from your enemies.
Yep. So you can't be comfortable with
yeah.
anything that is
desperation
yes.
is a key component to
yeah.
being delivered.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So, unforgiveness, dealing with unforgiveness, desperation, humility,
mm-hmm.
and obviously confessing your faith in Christ. I mean, you have to
yeah.
be a believer.
Yeah. What's another interesting hindrance that a lot of people don't think about is water baptism.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people are like, whoa,
yeah.
really? And yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that that can actually be a huge hindrance to deliverance if you haven't been baptized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's something in that. It's
yeah.
like, because that's your
well,
public
that's
declaration.
Well, that's part of that, your public declaration of your faith in Christ.
Yes.
And that
yeah,
you're,
that's
you're,
officially
you're his,
what that is.
You're
yeah,
his
is.
And you're,
mm-hmm.
you,
yeah.
you're desperate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to be free. I'm going to do everything I can to get free. And that
yeah.
includes being baptized. That's
yeah.
that desperation, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think... So it's interesting, you know, when you really start, you know, getting educated and you learn about this stuff and, you know, it's not for everyone. And I think you have to, and even though, I mean, we're all called as believers to do this, That's right. What the Great Commission is. That doesn't say, yeah. Oh, only these people or these people. We're all called by Jesus
right.
to do this. And, you know, and then, you know, you have Mark 16:17. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name and they will speak in new languages. There's a lot of, you know what I mean? There's a lot of references here. You know, Matthew 10:1, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease, every affliction. Yep. So I think when there's emphasis over and over about something,
mm-hmm.
that means it's important.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's not like it's just mentioned once or twice, you know, I don't know. It's a lot. And like we said, you know, when you break down Jesus's life and ministry, 70% was healing,
yeah.
you know, and casting out demons.
Right.
So there's an importance there. And I just think people, because, you know, people say, oh, well, deliverance isn't a salvation issue. Okay, well, that might be true, but it doesn't mean it's not important and it's not needed.
Right.
Because I think... Do you think that Jesus died for freedom, for us to have freedom from that stuff?
If you think about that, you know, I feel sad for anybody that thinks that that's not important. But if you love people like God commands us to do, then you would want them free, right?
Right. Well, in Isaiah 61 says to set the captive free.
What do you think that means? Right. What do you think that
okay,
means?
Okay, that means that, man, too. You know, and I... We have such a fire, God just lit this fire in us for this, and we're so passionate about it because it's so needed.
Yeah.
People literally are still there. You got to think, how are you going to fully walk in what the Lord has for you
right.
if you're still bound in
right,
something?
If you're not free. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're starting to see it. People are hungry.
They are.
People are hungry for freedom because
yeah.
you look at all the demonic activity in the world now. It's just
it's off the charts.
It is off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
they don't even hide anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I saw that interesting thing on one of the social media platforms where it says Satan. You know, Satan doesn't even hide anymore, and people still can't see him.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. This isn't a time, you know, where we need to play argue. You know. People said they don't argue theology. You see it all the time. I see it on social media. I see Christians arguing theology. I see that. I just see that. I see it as a problem. And I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, while you all are arguing theology, I have a question for you. How many people did you lead to Christ this week?
Right.
While you were arguing online about Scripture.
Yeah.
So when you get to the pearly gates
yeah.
and God asks you, oh, what did you do with me? Well, I argued. Oh, Lord, I
right.
deserve to go to heaven because I argued Scripture
right.
for you online.
Right.
God don't need you to do that for him.
Right. Now, of course, you know, there also is that verse in the Bible where, you know, people, you know, that it talks about a person that is speaking to Jesus and says, Lord, Lord, did we not do these things in your name?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, that's because they did all these things, but they didn't have a relationship with him. So nothing is more important than your intimacy and your
right.
relationship with Christ. Okay, that's first, because
right.
he comes before everything.
Right.
And then, you know, doing that and keeping yourself healthy,
yeah.
walking holy, right, you know, righteous, you know, just all the things we need to
right.
do to remain spiritually healthy. Okay. And then... we can do the works
right.
that he's called us to do,
yeah.
that he's commanded in the Scriptures, that he said, do this, you know, Great Commission and all that. So obviously that's number one, your intimacy and your encounter with him daily, pursuing him daily,
right.
being in the Word, all that is at the forefront of everything
right.
first.
And it's in the Bible. I always kind of laugh about it because the way it's worded. It's not funny, but it kind of is in a way because if anybody knows the story of the sons of Sceva.
Oh, I know, right.
You know, they tried to cast out demons, but they used... It's almost like the way they were talking when they did it, that they didn't really know God.
No, they didn't. And they just heard about what was happening, and they're like, oh, we're going to go do it too.
So...
And then the demon speaks out.
Right, I advise, just...
Yeah, yeah.
Get a chance, go read that up, the sons of Sceva.
He's like, it's like, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know, but who are you?
The demons were
saying, the demons were like, who are you?
The demons basically handed their behinds to him, and they sent them packing.
They were tore up, man, from the floor up.
Tore their tail up because they weren't... God wasn't using them for that.
Well, they didn't do it in Jesus' name.
Well, they tried to do it under their own authority.
And the demons are like laughing. Like, we don't know.
Even the demons say, we don't know you.
No.
They send them packing, basically, with their tail between their legs.
So obviously, it's in our relationship with Christ, in our in our intimacy with Him, and all of that, that when we're close to Him, that's our empowerment through the Holy Spirit. That gives us the authority, you know, in that. But I think, you know, when you have people who are hurting, you have people who are broken, we have to just get out of our comfort zone and rise up and answer that call.
Well, it's one of those things you have to, you know, I think sometimes maybe some churches don't do it because of fear of man.
Maybe.
I think sometimes that's part of it, because I think it's sometimes that's church culture.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know
how it's people, weird.
It's too weird. Or it's
freak people out.
It's like,
or, I don't know.
It's like, so when back in biblical times, would you have told Jesus he was weird? Mm-hmm. I mean, if Jesus was here now and he was doing those things, would you say he was weird?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I just think, I don't know. It's almost like there comes a point where we're saying, if we're standing on the word of God, you know, and we're standing on what the Bible says, and we're standing on scripture, then that includes all of it.
Well, I mean, it's easy to read scripture and share scripture when it's easy.
Yeah.
But when things don't, you know, don't look a certain way, or, you know, because like I said, deliverance sometimes is not a pleasant sight.
It's time. You have to put time in. It's
I think sometimes maybe if you're, especially if you're a smaller church and maybe you're starting out and you're new, maybe you're, sometimes they're just, some churches maybe just aren't equipped for that. So maybe it's not that they, because you see a lot of churches that they talk about deliverance. And so I think that maybe they believe in deliverance, and they want to do that, but they just don't know how to approach it. They're not equipped for it. Maybe they don't have people that want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what's interesting too is how we've been to different places where they are like active deliverance churches, and they do this on a regular basis. Like, they have a prayer line like once a month or whatever, and that's just, that's not what they do as a church. I mean, they speak of all about the word of God, and they're on fire and spirit filled and all that, and they're healthy, but that's just something that they is really a huge part of what they do. Now, what's crazy is that we've been, you know, to see a few speakers at some of these places, and it's crazy that, because the people coming there have enough where they're not, you know, we could just say they're demonized because they have the Holy Spirit. So they're believers, right? But they're demonized, that they have enough where they can get them there, right? They want to be free. Right. Like, they want, so it's not like they're not, that the demon's like not letting them come. I mean, even if they're tormented or whatever. But what's so crazy is the amount of manifestations you see in that setting.
Well, I think it's the authority that mm-hmm. particular ministry, that church, I'm not saying deliverance ministry, but that church, the pastors or the spiritual leaders or whoever is doing the deliverance, the authority that they carry, and I think those demons recognize that, and I think that's why you see the manifestation.
I mean, it's crazy. Well, and they know like their time's up too.
Because I've also been in churches where they're praying deliverance over people, and there's nothing happened. And there's nothing.
Right. Yeah. So it's interesting to see the difference. Well, and here's another thing people really need to understand about demons and the demonic. Okay. They like being in a body because that's how they get their assignment done through sin.
They don't want to be called out.
No, they are champions of hiding and staying hidden. They do, and it's only if you what's it's confronting. It's confronting. It's calling it out. That's where our discernment comes in and all that.
Yeah.
And obviously, Holy Spirit speaking and saying or helping you like do. It's an activation that happens when it's needed at the moment. But what's crazy, and it's like, so it's like, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, we're like, well, this is weird when it's this setting and then it doesn't happen. Well, because they like being in a body, dude.
That's well, just, yeah. And that's why, you know, we talk about, huge blocks for deliverance. So we talked about how to be delivered, things you have to do, but there's specific things that will actually block deliverance. And that's what, you know, those demons don't want to be called out. So that the resistance to the demons want these blocks in place.
Yes.
The demons don't, you know, whatever's operating in that person doesn't want you to forgive people.
Yeah.
It's going to try, you're going to face all kinds of resistance when you try to go through the stuff and deal with these things because they know their time is
up.
It's coming up.
Yep.
Their number's coming up.
Yep.
And a few of those blocks, we'll just kind of go through them real quick. Actually, we talked about unforgiveness being a block. Pride is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you look at most sins,
the root
of most, almost every sin is pride. And I think I talked about that in a previous podcast. But go look in the Bible and see how many times pride is mentioned. You'll see how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
Also, people that are attention seekers.
Mm-hmm.
Have self-centeredness,
mm-hmm.
Maybe aren't really doing it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
If someone comes in and wants something, but they have no present accountability, they're not part of a fellowship or a church. They're not plugged in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Their block is going to be huge for deliverance because they have, I mean, they go get delivered. Okay, so they get delivered, then what?
Right. Well, and that's the thing too. You don't want to do, like, you don't want the person worse off than when they came because, you know, if you get emptied, you have to get filled.
Right. After deliverance, once you get set free, you're an empty vessel.
Yes.
You need to be filled with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So those, and then you have a lack of desperation. They're not desperate.
Nope. Like, you can't ever be at a place as the deliverance minister. I mean, I don't mean that's a ministry, but I mean, that's what we say. That you want it more than they do.
Right. You can't want it more. You can't want it more than the person you're delivering.
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Nope.
If they're just kind of, oh yeah, you know, just kind of don't seem like they're really into it, then I don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not ready.
Nope.
Failure to confess sin, unrepentant sin in their life.
Yeah.
Or a hidden sin, or, you know, secret sin, as we like to say.
Right.
If they're going through all these things and you're, as a deliverance minister, you're hitting a wall, you're not getting somewhere and people aren't getting free. There's something going on behind closed doors that you don't know about.
Yes. Yeah.
And again, we talked about not separated by water baptism.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Get them back. If they're desperate, they'll want to be baptized.
Right.
That's part of that desperation we talked about. Desperation.
Right.
You're going to want to do everything you can to get free. And and baptism, man, demons ain't liking that.
No. Well, you know, you see sometimes, I've actually seen through the baptism, they actually go through deliverance with the baptism and actually sometimes manifest once they come up.
Yep.
I've seen that too. It's pretty crazy.
And we talked about, you know, failure to confess sin. Well, also failure to break with the occult. If they're in the New Age, astrology,
horoscopes.
All those stuff, if they still got that stuff in their life, they're celebrating Halloween, they're, you know, pagan stuff.
Yep.
Any type of
that's compromise.
Stuff is not of God, then you're in compromise.
You are.
And that's going to block deliverance too.
Well,
because it's an entryway. But then that goes back to that desperation. If they're not willing to give those things up, they're not ready.
Well, that's an idol then.
Yeah, right.
You made that an idol. If that's more important to you.
Yeah. Well, that's why we talk about the desperation. If they're not desperate, if you're not desperate, you're not getting delivered.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think it's interesting too, where, you know, in scripture, a lot of the, you know, you would say our example or a template for what deliverance looks like, there's always two people. Jesus was, or the disciples, one of them were speaking to the demon and commanding it out.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's something in that's our example in scripture is those over and over are the instances with how that's happening.
Right.
And again, not saying it can't happen other ways, because we both experienced it, you know, with, you know, just nothing, you know, just on our own, which we know God can do that too. But again, if we have examples in scripture for like almost like a template, then I think that that's valuable, right? I think we're doing a huge disservice to people if we don't look and say, you know, if that's example, then there's something in that,
right?
You know, and that we got to think even Jesus spoke to the demons. They didn't just poof.
Right.
He had to command. Well, and well, Legion, had, he had to ask him more than once.
Right.
And command him, and almost like they were almost like, they didn't want to leave.
Right.
And they were like making a deal with him, like, don't send us into the pigs. Right. You know.
They didn't want to go back to.
So he's having an exchange with them. It wasn't just like, oh, boom, and the person's free. He's like having to do this back and forth,
right,
you know, with the demons.
Yeah.
So it's like if Jesus had to do that, you know, he commanded, he confronted. Right. And like a lot of examples in scripture show that, that again, that template. And the other thing too is cast out is not a passive phrase. It's active.
Right.
And it's not gentle.
No.
It's forceful. I mean, you got to think the Greek.
If you cast someone out of your house.
Yes. Well, there's a Greek, like I looked up the concordance for that, and it's ekbalo is the Greek for that word, cast out. And it says to throw, cast, put out, banish, bring forth, you know, to eject.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. That don't sound.
That sounds forceful.
Gentle.
No.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, I guess maybe if people would sit and again, when you look at scripture and you think about, that's what that means.
Yeah.
Here's our template for that.
Well, yeah. And I think we, a lot of the issues, I don't think people willingly go against that. I think.
No.
Obviously there's some churches that flat out just don't believe in it.
They don't believe it. Well, I think those people have like that. They're operating that spirit of religion where they don't even believe in the gifts for today.
Right.
And stuff
very
like
religious
that.
Spirit. But
yeah,
I think sometimes it's just, they're either unequipped or mm-hmm. they're just lack
understanding
in that realm,
right.
Yeah, and I think, mm-hmm. I think that sometimes, especially with, you know, a young church or they're small or
mm-hmm.
they're just maybe not equipped to handle that because it's a bit of an undertaking,
yeah,
you know,
it is.
To have that.
You got to get a team or people
right.
that are trained.
And you don't want just anyone doing that because
no.
you want
you gotta have some training.
Your goal is to be
free people,
you know.
Right.
You don't want to have people up there just winging it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
You know, and then we talked about deliverance and all these things, and then there's also rules about how you keep your deliverance after you've been delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Things you have to. We talk about, you know, once you free someone and they're actually free and they're not bound, they don't have anything in them anymore. They're empty, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're an empty vessel.
Yes.
They got to be filled back up because you've got rid of all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
You don't want bad stuff coming back, and if you don't deal with that and
Well,
give them
the
tools.
Tells us that
right.
that they will come back
right.
and be, bring seven more
right.
with them.
So I'll give you some examples of how you do to keep your deliverance. And I'll give some
yeah.
verses with it. I'm not going to read the verses. I'll just
no.
give you the
verses.
I mean,
yeah.
there's a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, making Jesus Lord of your life.
Yeah.
It has to be first and foremost the center of your life.
Yes.
Once you are free of those demons and you are
mm-hmm.
you have freedom,
yep.
that has to be front and center. You
yeah.
do not want to mess up on that one.
Nope.
Because the demons will come back
mm-hmm.
and it'll be a lot worse.
Yep. And we don't want that for people.
No.
We don't want them
that, and that's why the
part is educating.
That's why the education
yeah.
afterwards is actually
important.
The most important.
It is.
Because you did all that work to get them free. You don't want them getting back into that.
Right.
And in the Bible, it talks about in Isaiah 61:3, the garment of praise.
Yes.
That's something you all can just look up. I'll just give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 6:14 through 17, the full armor of God.
Yep.
Living by God's word, Matthew 4:4.
Yeah.
Submitting to God, that's James 4:7. Coming under discipline, 1 Samuel 15:23.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously making Jesus central in your life.
Which that's the Lord, making him Lord.
Yeah.
Is, you know.
John 12:31-32. So again, that's one of the most important things when dealing with people in deliverance is the...
Don't just like send them on their way.
Right,
like,
just don't say, yeah, you're free, see you later.
Yeah, right. No.
Have a nice life.
No.
No, they need to be plugged into the church.
Yes.
And they need to be plugged in the church before that.
Yes, they do.
Realistically, I mean, you need to have a plan in place for these people.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them, you put all this time in.
Right.
Obviously, because we love people as well, we're
yes.
doing this. That's
yeah.
first and foremost.
Right.
You don't want to just send them on their way. You know, if you love people, you wouldn't want to do that to them anyways, because you know it's going to be worse if you don't.
Yeah, you don't want
people. You want to make sure that they're plugged in and they're solid and they have... I mean, obviously, you can't drag people to church.
No.
And make them fellowship.
No.
But you have to make sure that you've done everything you can.
Right.
And you have to... They have to understand that if they don't do this stuff, that all this stuff is done in vain.
Yes.
If they don't... And that's where that desperation comes in.
Yeah.
That's where we need to really understand people and listen to the Holy Spirit and have discernment. People sometimes will say they're ready, but they're not.
No. And we've had that.
Yeah.
We had cases where Holy Spirit it was like, nope.
He put the brakes on.
He literally was like, you just literally felt that stop about the process. Like, stop. Yeah. Like, don't go forward.
Right.
And does that make sense in the natural? No.
You're like, oh, but... You know, then we get into our flesh. We didn't want to stop. We wanted to get free. Because
then
you have to really, like, repent for that. Because you're
do.
Okay, that's not God. That's my flesh.
Yeah.
That's me wanting to do that.
Yeah.
And not listening to the Lord. So.
Yeah. And you know what? He was right. And that showed. Because of what ended up happening with that case.
Yeah.
It revealed a lot of things that would not have gotten revealed. And more time would have been spent in vain, sadly.
Well, and you also got to make sure if somebody's not ready, you're not... If they really are just attention seeking, because unfortunately there are people that are called deliverance junkies.
Yes.
They go up for every altar call but never actually get free.
Right.
And they wait, and they're sent to waste time.
There.
So you got to be careful, and that's where discernment comes in, listening to the Holy Spirit, that you're listening to that. And because you don't want, you're wasting your time with someone that has no intention of going through the whole process.
Right.
And, oh, this person over here, you didn't have any time for them because you wasted time with someone that didn't care. And this person over here is desperate and really wants to get free, and they're not free now.
Right. Well, and you know what's interesting,
you're missing the people that really do want
to help. We actually have had heard of cases where people just want some relief. They don't actually want freedom.
Right.
They
just want a
quick fix.
Almost like they want a Band-Aid on it.
Like
you get a wound that requires stitches, but they just want to put a Band-Aid on it for now because it'll be okay for now.
Yeah.
But you know it ain't going to heal.
And we're like,
they didn't
no.
do it right.
And we're just, and you know what? And it's not being unkind to that person to say no.
But you have to be honest.
You're right.
You have to be honest. It's like, well, we don't
and
think
you have
you're
to
right.
say no.
And you have to do it out of love, and you approach it in a way that,
of course,
you want them free, but they have to understand that there's a process to it.
Right. And there's hindrances and blocks that you ain't gonna get nowhere.
Right.
If things have legal rights.
Well, you're gonna wear yourself out. You're gonna wear them out. You're gonna spend a lot of time.
And that's you don't want that.
Nothing, yeah.
Right. Because time, what we say, time is one of our most valuable thing because we can't get it back.
Right.
Right.
And, well, and you also want to make sure you're actually freeing people.
Of course.
You know, you don't want to take them through all that stuff and then they get nothing.
Yeah.
Then what was the point of it?
Right. That they just.
And that's why listening to the Holy Spirit is
huge.
Important.
Well, he needs to lead it always.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
The process. And that's why we say going in, you kind of have a general understanding and kind of a blueprint. But that's not the end all be all. That's not, it's like
well,
this
it's
and this
be,
and this.
It's going to be tough it in deliverance can, if you're trying to do deliverance if you lack discernment.
Right.
It's going to be tough.
That and that you can't troubleshoot like on the spot. Where
right,
because like,
there may be a situation where you're doing something you might have to change tactics.
Exactly,
I mean, because it's not cookie cutter.
Nope.
Do not get yourself into a situation where it becomes like ritualistic. Like it's just, it has to be this way. We're going to do it like this. That might work a few times, but it's going to come to a point where it doesn't work at all.
Right. Well, and
demons are going to figure it out.
I've heard cases where the Holy Spirit would be speaking. Well, I think it was Alexander Pagani shared that story, and it, the Holy Spirit spoke about what this was, plaguing this person and how it came in. And Pagani's all in his, he said, I got all in my flesh. Like, I know better. He's like, that did not, he's like, here's me in this process arguing with the Holy Spirit going, I am not saying that word. This is silly. There is no way that thing came
in
through that. Like, I'm not like literally arguing with the Holy Spirit. And he's like, finally, he's like, Holy Spirit, just do it. And he was like, fine.
And, said,
and so he said, man, and he's asking the guy, he's like, I know this sounds goofy and weird and I don't know, but did you want, and it was connected to this show that kids watched. And he's like, is there something connected? And that kid was, he was like, yeah, I did. And I was like really into this blah, 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 whatever it was. And he's like, I had the costume and all this stuff. And Pagani is like, whoa. And he goes, that's what it is.
Right. Something come in through that.
Come in. Because it was like witchcraft and weird stuff.
Well, it's weird. That's one of the things that most people don't understand. Is like when you have open doors in your life, you don't get to choose what comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have, you may come across somebody that it's demonized with something that they had nothing to do with.
Right.
He's like, oh, yeah. I was never involved in that. No, but you had open doors and these came in.
Yeah. You don't get to choose what comes in. And that's another thing. I don't know.
It's just, like, if you leave your door open at home, you live in, maybe you don't live in such a great neighborhood.
What's coming in your door?
It's like you don't get to choose, stand at your door and choose who comes in.
Yeah.
If they see a door open, whoever wants to come is going to come in, right?
Yeah.
Same way with demons.
Yeah. Well, it's an opportunity.
Right.
They're going to be like, well, come on, party over here.
Right.
Come on in.
Yeah.
And again, it's not fair. And, you know, and we say the enemy doesn't play fair. Fair is not in his vocabulary.
Right.
But again, you know, we say we're in a battle as believers.
Yep.
You know, we're in a war. We're in a battle. Well, you got to know your enemy.
Yeah.
You have to know his strategies and his tactics. And that's why it's important to have an understanding about this realm. Because, you know, we as believers, if we say we live a supernatural life, that includes that side too.
Yep.
Not just the good stuff. The demonic realm, that's what we're battling. That's what we're pushing back. That's what Jesus defeated, right? The works of darkness.
Right.
That's what we're called to do here on the earth. If we say bring heaven, you know, heaven on the earth, well, that's what we're to do. You know, we're to expel that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And no greater, I think, demonstration does that than through deliverance.
Right.
That humiliates the devil every time. And that's why he hates.
Right.
He hates that. He hates that. Anything about that, because he knows, you know, that's what that does. But we just, you know, like I said, the Lord's put that, you know, on our hearts early on, you know, really brought stuff to us we didn't even know about. And we just learned in a crazy way through the Lord bringing things to us. We weren't seeking it out. And so he put that on our hearts, you know, and we just have such a passion for that. To see people free and to be a vessel for that, you know, for people's freedom. And it's just like, however the Lord wants to do that, however it looks for him, that he needs it done, we yield and we say, we'll do it.
Right.
We're never going to go in and say, we know it all. And it's like this and this and this, we're going to let him move. And, but we just know, we know it's needed though.
Right.
That is needed. The active part, active deliverance is needed.
Yeah.
It's very necessary.
Right.
And it's, you know, and the world isn't getting lighter, it's getting darker. So we're having people come out of this stuff that are finding Christ.
Yeah.
That need to come to people that know how to help them.
Yeah.
That's why you have to have some knowledge in this. You have to know, you know, how to meet them and to navigate. Because if you're just like, I mean, could you do it? With just the Holy Spirit? Yeah, of course you could.
Yeah.
But I think we do have a responsibility. We got to get equipped.
Yeah.
You know, and got to get some knowledge, you know, under our belt about this stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's real. It's a reality for us as believers.
Yep,
so
definitely is.
But yeah, so we hope you guys found this helpful. And, you know, and you'll learn something. And we hope this sparks a fire and in others, you know, to really, you know, want to answer that call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we say, use me, Lord, send me, Lord, we don't say, but just not for this. You know, when we say that to the Lord, it means however he needs.
Yeah.
What he needs us for.
Right.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Well, you know, in ending here, I've had this verse on my, just kind of, just, it's just always in my head. It's been in my head for a while. It's kind of just staying there. So I feel, you know, maybe it's the Holy Spirit want me to, I've been trying to say this to as many people as I can. I even said it today at church over our team today, you know,
yeah.
And, it's in Romans 8:31. And if you're a believer or whoever's out there listening and you're obviously a believer,
mm-hmm.
And you feel like things are always, you know, you're struggling, you're a lot of resistance and, you know, maybe you're just you're going through it, you know, spiritual warfare, because mm-hmm. it's just something we have to deal with as believers. I just want y'all to remember a verse in Romans 8:31, because it always kind of...
It's like be encouraged.
It kind of encourages you, sure. like who we act, who we are. Yes. And the verse is, like I said, Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us?
No one. Because he's already won.
Right.
We know the end of the story.
Keep that in your head. Every time you're facing anything.
He's already won.
Anytime you're struggling, you feel like... You feel like that maybe yeah. the devil railing mm-hmm. against you, really causing you some issues. Maybe you're doing a lot of spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Read that. And if you have to say it to yourself 100 times, say it to yourself 100 times.
Do it.
Every morning.
Write a note.
Right.
A sticky note on put on yep. your mirror.
If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's yeah. so true. And that's so important about our identity in Christ and to know whose we are.
Yeah.
And who our Father is. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think...
We can't forget who we are.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. That's part of renewing our mind, right? Every day we read and we get that, lock that in. But as always, you guys can email us at thedevotedlifepodcast@gmail.com and let us know how we can be praying for you guys. We will love to do that because we know prayer is so essential and it's important. And as always, we just appreciate you all so much. And we thank you for the continued support. And we will see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.